The Inside Aperture podcast introduces you to the experts who use Apple's professional image management application to organize, edit, and output their pictures. Each show features tips and techniques that will help you improve the quality of your photography and bring efficiency to your workflow.
Hi, this is Derek Story for O'Reilly Media, and I'm back with Joe Schur today, Senior Product Manager for the Aperture application. And Joe's been busy doing about 20 different things lately, and one of the things that he's been up to, he's done the iPhoto to Aperture web seminar.
We do a whole series of online seminars at Apple on, you know, all of our different products and technologies, and people can log on to seminars.apple.com to see the whole list of them. And there's a link, I think, on the bottom of that page called Online Seminars. And these are free. People can, I think you have to register for them, and then you can watch the free seminar. This was one that I thought was really important to do because there are so many photographers out there who really, up until now, have relied heavily on iPhoto. And in fact, when you survey pro photographers, iPhoto still ranks really high as one of the tools that they use. You know, they may not use it for everything, but it has certain functions that are really useful to anyone, whether you're a snapshot photographer or you're a pro. And so we found that there was a real need to talk more to people about how to take photos that you already have in iPhoto, an existing library that you've been developing, and how do you easily move that stuff over to Aperture. And so that's what we focused on. There's really quite a lot of number of options to keep in mind when you're making that transition.
There are a lot of those options. You know, what you're saying resonates. When I was at WPPI, I saw some very, very famous photographers there, wedding photographers, so forth. In fact, I talked to Joe Busink and so forth. And he was using Aperture, but he was still in the process of making the transition from iPhoto to Aperture, and in fact, he even did some of his presentation in iPhoto just because, you know, he had been using it and been very comfortable with it. When you're moving to Aperture, though, you can't always go strictly off the menu commands when you start moving stuff over, right? I mean, you know, there's a little art and science here to make this less painful.
Yeah, so here's the key there. So if you, let's say you wanted to, you launch Aperture and you want to start bringing iPhoto content over. If you go to the file menu and you choose import, you'll notice that one of the import options is iPhoto library. And boy, doesn't it seem logical that that's where you'd go, right? And that does work. It's great. And what it does, it brings over your entire iPhoto library. It's going to get imported and sort of reconstituted as part of your Aperture library. Now, that could be very useful. But what we found, the more people we talked to, is that very often you don't really want to bring your entire iPhoto library over. You may have a lot of content in there that this is not stuff that you absolutely need to bring over into Aperture. This is a great time. This is kind of like when you're cleaning your room and you have a chance to kind of throw out the things that you don't need and put away the things that you don't need to be looking at anymore. When you're making this transition, it's a good time to say, how much of this stuff do I really want to bring over? So the advice I usually give people is don't use the import iPhoto library command. There's a better way to do this. And the way to do that is to choose, go to File, Import, but choose Images. Now, that's the same command that shows up when you import photos from a folder or when you pop in a compact flash card. It's the same interface that you get the import window. What this allows you to do is to navigate into the iPhoto library and pick just the albums or the rolls that you want and bring those over into Aperture. So you can be pretty selective. Now, the way you do this, if you choose File, Import Images, right at the top of the import window, there's a column browser, and it allows you to navigate to any folder on your hard drive or any other connected drive. But one of the options there, you'll notice in the very first column of that column browser, is iPhoto Library. And when you choose that, Aperture actually knows how to navigate the iPhoto library. If you've ever been brave enough to dig into those folders, you know that, you know, there's a very specific structure there. Thumbnails are kept in one folder and the originals are kept in one folder. Well, Aperture is written, all the code is written such that it knows how to navigate your iPhoto library. So as soon as you click on that, what you get is your list of albums. So if you've already spent months or years organizing your images into albums in iPhoto, there they are. You can now click on a specific album and then just import the images from that album. You can also go to the rolls and how iPhoto automatically organizes each imported set of pictures as a roll. So you can actually import on a roll-by-roll basis. And if you click on any of those rolls or on any of those albums, this is where it gets really interesting. The import window will show you thumbnails contained within that album or within that roll, and you can select those. So I can literally, and I do this all the time, you can navigate to your iPhoto library and just bring a specific photo in. So let's say there's something in iPhoto and you just want to grab that one photo because you know there's something you can do with aperture's adjustments. Maybe if you do a little highlights and shadows, or you know, you want to create a few different versions of it, the kind of things that you're not going to be able to do in iPhoto by itself, you can just go grab that one photo using the import command, import it in, and then obviously do whatever you'd like to it in Aperture. So that's really the nice way to do it. You can be selective, and it's also, this is kind of a nice way to ease into this transition. You know, let's not bring in 15,000 photos during your first 10 minutes of using Aperture. Maybe just go ahead and bring an album in and play with that and kind of slowly rebuild your library if you want to do that.
We have a lot more control over how your iPhoto stuff comes into Aperture that way. One of the things I noticed when I first played with bringing in the iPhoto command was that then it and Aperture sort of made up their mind how that was going to look in Aperture. And it wasn't necessarily maybe the way I wanted to organize it. So the way that you're talking about, I think, is a lot cleaner. One of the most pleasant surprises I've ever had with Aperture is when I clicked on iPhoto library on that import files, and I saw all of my albums right there. I mean, it was so clean and so beautiful because I do know what that iPhoto library looks like at the Finder level, and it's messy. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the questions I have, though, if I've been shooting RAW in iPhoto, which you know a lot of people have, especially over the last couple years, so when you're navigating, bringing in the images, and you see your albums, and you find an image that you like, is it bringing in your original image, or is it bringing in the JPEG? What am I getting when I see that photo?
Okay, that's a great question. So what you are going to see when you navigate in that import window is you're going to see iPhoto's current rendering of that shot. So that is actually, as you may know, behind the scenes, a JPEG that iPhoto is created from your RAW file, which has your iPhoto adjustments on it. There is an option in iPhoto, if you want, it's a preference, to actually have iPhoto make a 16-bit TIFF of that RAW file instead of a JPEG, and obviously that preserves more quality, but it makes much larger files. iPhoto isn't a non-destructive workflow with the RAWs where all of the adjustments are saved as metadata. So every time you make an adjustment, it leaves that RAW file behind and makes this new TIFF or this new JPEG. So that's what you're seeing. Let's say I select that image and I bring it into Aperture. What I get is actually a stack, and it's going to bring in the current version, right? So that JPEG or that TIFF as it exists on my hard drive with those adjustments from iPhoto burned into it. But next to it in the stack is going to be the RAW file as well. So you actually get both, which means I can now with just a click quickly go back to the RAW file and sort of redevelop that the Aperture way. It's actually a very nice way of seeing, you know, what can I do with Aperture that I couldn't do in iPhoto? And we actually take that a step further and automatically apply a keyword when you import those. So the keyword iPhoto original will be added to that original file. And if it was a RAW file, a keyword for RAW will be added as well. So we're trying to, the idea here is to preserve as much information as possible. If you added comments when you were in iPhoto, those get automatically written into the caption field. If you rated the images, you know, the ratings are preserved. And if you keyworded them, the keywords are preserved. So, you know, all the work that you've been putting into that iPhoto library over the months and years prior to switching to Aperture or adding Aperture into your workflow, you should be able to benefit from all of that automatically.
Now, this is interesting because, so there's the first fork in the road. Now, the next one is, you know, what we've been talking about mainly is maybe if you wanted to bring them into a managed Aperture library, which is cool. And I have to tell you, it's still the way I work most of the time. Mm-hmm. But maybe this would be a case where maybe you don't want to totally give up iPhoto either, but yet you want to access those files through Aperture. Is there a way through the reference file system that, you know, maybe you could work with those same originals?
Yes. Actually, here's something to really think about. So let's walk through this again. If you are choosing File, Import Images, and I've selected the album or albums that I want to bring in from iPhoto to Aperture, you're about to click Import. This is a great time to stop, take a breath, and consider your options here, because this is where you need to choose. Right in that import window, you have a pop-up menu called Store Files, and you must make this decision. Where, as we bring these into Aperture, where do we want those to be stored? Now, as you mentioned, if we say in the Aperture library, Aperture is going to take everything that you have in iPhoto and copy it. It's going to make a duplicate copy into the Aperture library, and that's probably not what most people want, right? I've already got gigs and gigs of photos neatly stored in folders in the iPhoto library. There's no reason those have to move. There's no reason those have to be duplicated. So the key here is go File, Import Images, choose the stuff you want out of iPhoto, and make sure that Store Files is set to Store Files in their current location. They're going to come into Aperture. You're going to see the originals, and you're going to see the adjusted photos from iPhoto. All your keywords and captions, everything's there. It's going to feel just like everything has been, you know, brought into the Aperture library, but the photos themselves are still exactly where they were in iPhoto. And so the benefit here is that when you go back to iPhoto, your iPhoto library is perfectly intact. Everything works just the way it worked before. But you also have references to all of those images in Aperture, and you can do stuff to them in Aperture, and the two applications don't crash into each other or get into each other's way or step on each other's feet. That's the nice thing about this. So you have one file on disk rather than two, and you can go and do stuff to it in iPhoto, and it doesn't affect what happens in Aperture. And I can go into Aperture and make different versions and apply different adjustments, and that's not going to like throw off the book that I created in iPhoto last month. So it's designed so that with one set of images in one location on your hard drive, you get to play with them with both applications.
Yeah, this is particularly interesting if you do shoot RAW, because you know you don't want to be duplicating those big RAW files. And the slideshow function in iPhoto is different than Aperture, and I'm not going to say one's better than the other, but you certainly can do different things in each of them. There's some plugins in iPhoto that you don't necessarily have in Aperture right now, you know, some better HTML plugins, some of that sort of stuff. So I could really see a workflow where you'd want to access both of those things. Now, another thing you'd have to think about if you went that route then is, of course, the size of your previews, right? You sort of have to think that through a little bit too.
That's right. So you just pointed out some of the reasons why, after I'm working with my images in Aperture, I may decide that I want to do something in iPhoto again. We think that's not just okay. We think that's great. One of the benefits that I think Aperture brings to the table is the fact that it works with the whole iLife suite and pretty seamlessly ever since we did 1.5, where that the media browser and all the applications gives you access to pictures. But the key here is the previews that Aperture is generating from each of your images. That's what's being shared across the iLife suite. And so in preferences, in your preferences in Aperture, that's where you decide, hey, when Aperture makes previews in the background, how big do you want them to be? And they can be, you know, full size, or you can have them scaled down. And you probably want to choose a setting that's going to give you a nice size preview so that when you do bring something into, you know, iMovie or iDVD or iPhoto to create like a calendar or greeting card, that you have a decent size image to work with so you can do some cropping and you know, zooming even when you're in iPhoto. The way this works, though, is pretty elegant now. Let's say I've brought these images in and I've made some nice adjustments to them, working directly from all the full-res raw data in Aperture, and I get my images looking just the way I want. Now I go back to iPhoto. How do I use the Aperture content? So a lot of people haven't discovered this because it was only added to iPhoto in an update around the same time that we did Aperture 1.5. But there is a command in the file menu in iPhoto called Show Aperture Library. And I've shown this to people where they go, I never saw that before. Where did that come from? Right? That's in iPhoto. It's in the current version of iPhoto. So what you do is you choose that and you get a little browser window that shows you not just photos from Aperture, but it's your, you know, you actually have a way of navigating your entire library. All your albums and smart albums and projects and folders are all visible right there in iPhoto. And now you can just pick those pictures and just drag them into iPhoto. It's essentially re-importing into iPhoto, and what you're importing is that preview that Aperture generated. So now you have a ready-to-use processed JPEG. And some of the reasons you may want to do that are just the things we were talking about, right? Aperture doesn't make greeting cards and calendars, but iPhoto's got these great templates, and people love doing those. So this is an easy way of going round trip, right? Bringing the work that you did in Aperture all the way back in so that you can then make the cards and the calendars and do some of the other stuff that's unique to iPhoto.
it works really well. One of the things that I've been thinking through lately, because as monitors get bigger and, you know, and then suddenly you think about building slideshows for high-definition TVs and all, my preview size have been growing lately over than what they were before. So I've been kind of upping my previews lately, and it hasn't had what I consider that detrimental of an impact on my library size, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, once the previews are generated, you shouldn't really feel the impact, and you can also control the quality of the JPEGs, and that makes a big difference. There's a world of difference between sliding that quality slider all the way up to the top and just bumping it down a few notches to like 8, 9, or 10. And I can tell you that you're not going to see the difference in most applications and most uses, and you will save a lot of space. I want to mention something else, though, a gotcha that you could encounter when you do that. A lot of people go and they decide to change the preview size. Well, when you just move that slider in preferences to a different size, it does not magically change all the previews which have already been generated. So how do you make that happen? The way you do that, you would select the images, or you could select the project, and if you just say update previews, it's actually not going to work. You're going to get a dialog that says the previews are already up to date, because you haven't made any changes in the images. So what you want to do at that point is you want to hold down the Option key and choose that command, and it turns into Generate Previews. And what that does is it forces Aperture to go back to the images that you've selected, and it regenerates the preview at the new size. So it's only when it's doing the preview generation, that's when it's reading your preference. So you want to make that change, and then you want to force regenerate, and now you're going to get the newly made previews.
That's a great tip. The tip is worth doing the show right there for. Because, I mean, that has so many applications even right outside of iPhoto and stuff. I mean, honestly, we may not want the same preview size for everything that we do. And, you know, so sometimes some albums we want bigger previews, other albums we know we don't need them, da-da-da. This is really a nice way to be in control of that. Now, once you change a preview size, is there a way that you can see what size your previews are for that album? Do you have like a get info on that? Because nothing's jumping out at me right now.
No, there wouldn't be any way for you to tell just looking at the image in the application. The secret there is to just quickly grab that thumbnail, drag it to the desktop. By the way, if you ever try to do that and the drag doesn't work, that means there's no preview made, right? So then you can generate the preview using the command that I just told you, and it will make it on the spot. Drag it out, double-click it, and then in preview, we'll even give you the dimensions, and you can confirm. I actually do that just to confirm that things are what I thought they were. So that would be the way to find out.
That's my other favorite app, by the way, is Preview, because it's so fast. You can drag it right out of Aperture, drop it under Preview, and then you're looking at it in seconds, and then you can get the info there. That's good stuff. What are we not covering in terms of this iPhoto-Aperture relationship?
Actually, there's one other thing that I'll mention that I think is useful, and that is when you do import, let's say you do import your whole iPhoto library, we had to come up with a default scheme for how to convert iPhoto's folders and albums into Aperture's world of projects and albums and folders, right? It's different. So what we did by default, in order to keep project sizes manageable and to at least give you a starting point, is your iPhoto library comes in as a folder of projects, right? And each role that you had in iPhoto has turned into a project. And then if you had albums, those are also preserved within that folder as albums. It may not be the way you like it. Maybe you want to start regrouping those. And so a lot of people don't realize that, hey, once this stuff is referenced in Aperture, you can move that wherever you want. You can move things between projects. You can create completely new projects and then drag those thumbnails into the new project. None of this is going to disturb iPhoto, because as you move things around in folders and projects in Aperture, it's not actually messing with your files on disk. All of those file paths are going to stay completely intact. So I guess my piece of golden advice on this would be, get this stuff over there, but remember, you can take advantage of organizational tools in Aperture that don't exist in iPhoto. So once you bring the stuff in there, please don't leave it as a folder full of role names, unless that's what you want. Group them together, make subfolders, put a couple of them in one folder and then some in another, rename them, drag them out of one project and into another. Once they're in there, you know, you can do whatever you want with those photos. They're always going to be referenced. And again, none of that will change any of the work you've already done in iPhoto. So again, think of our import as just the beginning of how you're going to organize those, then take advantage of the additional tools to take it further.
That's great stuff, Joe. And I think it'll really facilitate, you know, making the move from iPhoto to Aputure. Uh-huh. You don't have to give up iPhoto, but I'll tell you just from my own, you know, personal thing, once I get things all nice and tidy in Aputure, I tend not to load anything new into iPhoto. I'm working mainly with legacy content. So, and the seminar, we should plug the seminar one more time. So what's the easiest way to find this free online seminar?
I'll tell you how I find it. There might even be an easier way, but this is my the way I've learned. So go to the website is seminars.apple.com. And that's a website of all the different seminars Apple's doing, including the ones that you drive to that are in, you know, auditoriums. But at the bottom of the page, there's a link called Online Seminars. Click on that. You'll get this whole list. I mean, all the new stuff that we're doing. There's constantly new ones, but you'll see the Aputure, you know, for iPhoto users, one listed there, so you can get in there. And I think it's just under a half an hour to watch it. And it goes through visually. It shows you a lot of the things that I just described. And there's also a few other online seminars there. An introduction to Aputure 1.5's features. A couple of other things that are pretty useful. How to use it with iLife and how to use it with Automator. So it's worth checking those out.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Derek. Bye.
The Inside Aputure podcast is produced by O'Reilly Media. To learn more about Aputure, be sure to visit digitalmedia.oreilly.com/aputure for articles, tutorials, blogs, and podcasts. This show is produced on a Mac using Soundtrack Pro. See you next time.